Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, there's a new warning, that North Korea is mapping out a specific plan to launch an EMP towards America. Well, you know, the president just wrapped up a five-nation tour in the Pacific. He went to Japan, South Korea, China, Vietnam, and he ended his trip in the Philippines. And there was a remarkable trip. He talked a lot about the economy. But one of the main reasons that President Trump was in the region was to deal with North Korea. It was the first time the president spoke, visited a U.S. president to South Korea in 25 years. And he made it clear as he spoke to the National Assembly that North Korea's threats will not be tolerated in the region. We have ourselves about 80,000 U.S. servicemen and women there in the region. We have our friends, we have our allies, we have our trading partners, and North Korea has repeatedly not only threatened our friends, but they've threatened us here in the U.S. And now there's a specific report, according to WND, that they're stating that North Korea is mapping out this plan. Said only a few weeks after a team of experts warned that Congress that the nation faces an existential threat from North Korea, that an electromagnetic pulse attack is being mapped out, a specific plan. And so they're urging the president to come up with a new EMP commission. Apparently the EMP commission has been defunded. Yes, believe it or not, these are your elected representatives in Washington. Don't understand why that happened, but it has been defunded, and they're urging the president to have a new EMP commission on his own. We're going to be talking about what actually is an EMP and what are the ramifications, because we need to be prepared. There's many people like Mr. Pry, Peter Pry. He's an ex-chief of staff for the EMP commission that was functioning. And he's been warning diligently, this whole commission has, that the United States needs to be prepared. Listen, we can so easily lose our power grid. And if we lose our power grid, some reports are that we can lose 90% of our population in less than a year. That's 90%. Listen, these are some serious things that we need to address, some serious things that we need to be concerned about, and you need to know how to prepare. I want you to watch this as you get informed of exactly what is an EMP, as Lou Dobbs interviews Peter Pry, former chief of staff of the EMP Commission. Watch this.
Are we absolutely convinced that they are working toward an EMP attack? How certain are you? We talked last time about two satellites held by North Korea that have been put up by North Korea that are going around the globe at the perfect altitude to carry out an EMP attack. How certain are you? What is your level of confidence?
Well, the EMP Commission has high confidence that this is part of the North Korean game plan. In addition to this most recent test, which, by the way, it was launched on a trajectory consistent with practicing for EMP, because this missile was not launched for range. It was launched for altitude.
This is serious, and we need to be concerned about it. But we're talking about North Korea and the threat that they represent to our country and really the safety of the world. When you have a dictator like Kim Jong-un, who is repeatedly threatening the United States, threatening our allies, our friends in South Korea and Japan with nuclear weapons, this is something that needs to be taken very seriously. In fact, when President Obama was transitioning and during the inauguration, reports are that he told President, newly elected Trump at the time, that your biggest thing you're going to have to deal with on your agenda is going to be North Korea. Yeah. You're going to have to deal with it. And it seems like every single president in the last, 30, 40 years, the policy and you know, the practice has been to have this strategic patience with North Korea. Because what do? You have a dictator who has nuclear weapons, who's torturing his own people, who's literally a madman.
Literally threatening the world right now.
Yeah. Do you take him out? What do you do? Because this person could pull the trigger or press the button at any moment. And there's a new warning. Because there's been multiple warnings, but this is a new warning. that's saying that Kim Jong-un, North Korea, is mapping out a specific plan to be able to launch an EMP, electromagnetic pulse attack on the United States. And what that means is that we would lose our entire power grid.
Yes.
That means that toaster oven's not going to work. You know, that computer, that Facebook, none of those things, you're not going to be able to drive, eat. It would literally create a lot of devastation.
Knocks out pretty much everything.
Yeah, so you need to be prepared.
Yeah.
You need to be prepared. And what this new report is basically saying is that the president needs to establish his own EMP commission. The EMP commission that was already established has been defunded. Like a lot of things in Washington, we don't understand why these things happen.
Right.
But it's happened. Yeah. And he needs to establish his own. And they're saying that he needs to come up with a specific plan, like the iconic Manhattan Project. I mean, he needs to have a real plan in place. And I'm grateful that he has Mad Dog Mattis on his team. And he seems that he has the leadership in place to be able to map these things out. But more importantly, I think he has the right strategic mindset and the right agenda when it comes to defending the United States.
And right now, I think President Trump has done an outstanding job as demonstrating himself separate from previous administrations, which was he has said multiple times during this five-country trip to Asia right now, and saying the fact that it would be a severe miscalculation on the part of North Korea to compare the present administration to previous. And it's just like, that would not be good, because as the president has said, the days of strategic patience are over.
Is over. He said, in fact, he told Kim Jong-un, he says that the weapons you are acquiring are not going to make you safer.
Yeah.
You know, that you're going to have to deal with us, and that you have misinterpreted our patience as weakness. Mm-hmm. And that would be, like you said, a bad miscalculation. Because I believe that this president will keep America safe. Mm-hmm. This president will do what he has to do to protect the citizens. And that's not always been the feeling for a lot of Americans in previous administrations. You just didn't know. You saw attacks happening on 9/11. You saw different things going on. I'm talking about Libya, where we just kind of blinked and said, okay, you know, attacks on in Yemen on a ship that we had out there, and just nothing happened. And to see this president already take action, what happened in Syria, where he drops 59 Tomahawk missiles, because reports are that Assad used chemical, you know, weapons on his own people. The president responded and said, listen, that is not going to be tolerated.
Yeah.
He dealt with the red line that President Obama established that said, if Assad, if you use chemical weapons on your own people, we will act. Well, President Obama did not act, but President Trump did.
Right.
And I think that the world's going to take special attention now to this new president, in particularly China and Russia, because it seems like China is sending an envoy over to North Korea to have a little communication here and say,
you can't help but ask where they're getting their resources from, which we've talked many times before, and it's just, you're saying it right
because
there.
Because they're broke. I mean, supposedly all these sanctions are being put on North Korea, so where are they getting their food, and where are they getting this technology? Because the country, they don't have much at all. You know, he has everything, but the people don't. Listen, we want to take you straight to see, what are the implications should such an attack occur on the United States? What does that mean to you? Watch this.
No electricity for a year or more. Computers and other electronics destroyed. Planes falling out of the sky. No clean water. No food. Pandemics. As many as 300 million Americans dead in a year. This may sound like a nightmare, but a congressional committee says it could happen in the wake of an attack known as an EMP.
EMP, shorthand for electromagnetic pulse. It is generated by detonating a small, actually low-yield fission bomb approximately 200 to 250 miles above the Earth's atmosphere. That sets off what's known as the Compton effect. The gamma ray bursts from the bomb, hits the upper atmosphere, starts splitting off free electrons, sets up a static discharge that cascades through the atmosphere, and literally within milliseconds overloads the electrical grid on the surface of the Earth and can blow out the entire power grid of the United States in 1 second.
What happens when the grid comes down is there are surges of electricity that blow the big transformers. The estimate is that we could lose somewhere between 100 and 200 of those. That means that the grid would be down for a year or more.
If you are watching a plane overhead, many of them will just turn into flying bricks because modern planes are computer controlled. They come down and then the chaos starts. With the entire grid down, there's no electricity, which means no water supply. Refrigeration's gone. A vast majority of cars would be short-circuited off, particularly any cars made after 1990. You lose your transportation, you lose command and control.
There's 3 days food supply in the average city. So if the trucks don't run, you run out of food very quickly.
And when we get 20 to 25 days into such an event, when everybody's out of food, how many people will be willing to kill for a McDonald's hamburger? Especially if their child is starving. That's when it starts getting very ugly.
A month after this, already the effects of little or no potable drinking water, no treatment of sanitation, there's going to be a lot of diseases.
It's an existential threat to our society. It threatens the existence of our society, of our civilization, because we've never been so dependent upon technology for our survival in human history as we are today. If you have a blackout that lasts a year, no one can tell me how we can keep a population of 320 million people alive without food and water.
Most people believe that if we have not prepared, and we have not prepared, if we have not prepared for an EMP attack, that probably within the first year, maybe as many as 90% of our people will die.
90% of our people will die. Listen to what Dr. Price said. This is a former CIA. This is a former chief of staff of the EMP Commission. And this is what he says. We have a population of 320 million Americans today. And we're only able to sustain this population because of technology, our technology, our modern technological economy, and all of our critical infrastructure that supports the economy is keeping 320 million Americans alive. This is how dependent we've become on technology. Yeah. Because we have it, we're able to keep Americans alive. So he says, communication, transportation, business, finance, our industrial capability, even our food and water all depend on electricity. And when you subtract electricity, when you cause a nationwide blackout, when you black out the electrical grid and all the life-sustaining critical infrastructure, how now can you support 320 million people? And so we got to really look at this thing because we have, I believe, three parts of the power grid. We have an East Coast side, you have one on the West Coast, and then Texas has
its own power
grid. But what I'm understanding is like patched together with extension cords. I mean, one guy in California, you know, they had a blackout and they said someone unplugged something. I mean, it's so vulnerable. Yeah. It's so patchwork. You know?
I think we've come so far removed from the fact of how reliable we are upon electricity in itself. And we don't realize that if something were to go down, is that if you already have a storm and, you know, your street goes out for electricity, it'll take you like a day or two because you'll still be trying to flip on the switch.
Sure.
And it's just programmed into us that things just work. And we don't realize that just everything is dependent upon it.
Times are changing. In fact, I want you to watch what NRA News Frontline just put together as they go even further as to ramifications and helps us to really identify, because what you said is so important. We're so used to walking in our home, flipping a switch, and
expecting it to work.
There's power.
Yeah.
Well, you really need to put yourself in that experience. If you haven't been in a hurricane zone, if you haven't been without power for more than an hour, you really need to see how much life changes and how much you need to adjust to a new reality. Watch this.
These high-powered transmission lines running across the Nevada desert carry electricity to almost 4 million people. It's called the Pacific DC Intertie, and it goes from Oregon, where the power is generated, all the way to Los Angeles. There are almost 150,000 miles of power lines like this across the United States. And out here in the Nevada desert, you can see how difficult it would be to secure a network this vast. There's no security whatsoever, and that could spell trouble for anybody that's reliant on this network.
But the transformers on either end of the line are even more vulnerable. They are the foundation stone of our electronic civilization. Everything runs directly or indirectly on electricity. You know, none of our critical infrastructures will work. Not communications, not business, transportation, even food and water depend ultimately on electricity. And these EHV transformers is what makes the modern electric grid possible. It can't run without them.
A major problem with transformers is the fact that the cost associated with them. The larger transformers on the 500 kV can be in excess of, you know, $10 to $20 million for one transformer. The ability to have a spare, it's a hard argument sometimes from an economic perspective if you have something that's going to last 50 years.
The whole entire world, the global production is less than 200 of these a year, and we have 2,000 of them in our grid.
The U.S. grid was originally designed to move electricity short distances from production to consumer, but there hasn't been a new generation plant built in decades, and that means power must now travel much further than originally planned. Even worse, the average EHV transformer is over 40 years old.
It's very hard to replace even one of these things. There's only two railway cars in the whole country that are specially designed to accommodate these EHV transformers. You have to reinforce bridges, reinforce the highways, because they're so heavy, you can't just move them into place. But like so many things, we don't even make them in this country anymore. There's only two countries in the world that make them for export, South Korea and Germany. They have to be custom made. You can't mass produce them.
If a terrorist attack were to somehow destroy even a small number of these transformers, the results would be catastrophic.
Well, it's the greatest threat our civilization faces right now. And, I mean, I've studied weapons of mass destruction, all the various kinds of threats, chemical, biological, nuclear, physical sabotage, you know, that this country faces. And the one that's always worried me the most is electromagnetic pulse. And that's because it's the easiest to pull off. You get the biggest bang for the buck. You know, with a single nuclear weapon, you could destroy this whole country by a high-altitude detonation. And at the same time, it's the least understood. Many people don't understand that it is real.
EMP is essentially a man-made version of the solar coronal ejections that have been hitting the Earth from the sun for billions of years.
We get these eruptions, these coronal mass ejections, during a normal solar maximum when the peak in activity, you can see three or four a day. But it's really when you get the big ones. So it's almost like earthquakes. So if you watched a map, you can see there are lots of little earthquakes every day, but you don't get the big ones that often. We watch for these eruptions. We model them. We say, you know, how fast are they going? What direction are they going? Will they get here? Will they affect Earth? We have really three phases of pulse, the short, the medium, and the long.
The real problem, in a way, is the third type of electromagnetic pulse, which has very long wavelength and low frequency. After a nuclear detonation, that will affect the transmission lines, and it can be carried by the transmission lines and travel very long distances, thousands of miles along the transmission lines, knocking out the transformers as it goes. Knocking out transformers is like knocking out your or my heart. The electrical grid doesn't function without the transformers that step up voltage in order for it to be transmitted long distances and then step it down again so it can be distributed in your neighborhood to your house.
You don't have to be a genius to realize that if an EMP attack would destroy large numbers of these transformers, it could shut us down into a blackout that could last months, years, perhaps permanently.
Everything is interconnected, and everything electronic depends on the grid in one way or another. It's not as if electricity goes down, you say, darn, I've got to walk up to the corner gas station with my gas can and fill up from the pump and come back and put it in the car so I can drive to work. No, I'm afraid the electric pump is, indirectly at least, at the filling station, is also on the grid, and so it won't work. And I'm afraid your car has had all of its electronics fused.
A protracted blackout is not like an inconvenience like you have with a short-term blackout. There are vastly important and vastly dangerous industrial facilities, including nuclear reactors, you know, that depend on the power grid so that they don't blow up. Typically, they do have emergency generating power at these facilities, but usually it's like for 72 hours. Look at what happened at Fukushima, Japan, when they had a protracted blackout. You know, we've got over 100 nuclear reactors in this country, and they're co-located with our population centers.
I think that people don't want to look that horror in the face. And if electricity goes down, you're not back in the 1980s pre-web. You're back in the 1880s pre-electric grid. and very few of us have enough water pump handles and plow horses to manage in the 19th century world. It's imaginable to have a setup for your house where you are off-grid. If one was off-grid, you still would have to have your household electrical connections protected. But even then, a handful of people operating off-grid, unless they live out in the mountains somewhere and no one's around, you've got an off-grid house and some food and water, and I don't have any, and I'm absolutely desperate, and I come across you, I might first ask politely, and then you would have to worry that I might not be kind in trying to stay alive. Military bases and police headquarters are going to be as much without light and water and food as all the rest of us. We're used to having a disaster and having people show up who can deal with it, whether they're firefighters or police or the National Guard or whatever, and they have trucks and they have boats and they have things that can cope with it. But if nobody has any electricity, they can't move. They're in as bad shape as the rest of us.
This is so important because now that you know how vulnerable our power grid is, you get to realize and to really appreciate the mercies of God. The fact that we haven't had a blackout, a nationwide mm-hmm. blackout up to this point is just nothing short of a miracle.
Yeah.
It's the mercies of the Lord, because any terrorist, any person can do significant amount of damage knowing that it's very fragile, if you will. And it's something that James Worley said that it really just got me, that most people don't want to look at the reality of the horror. Most people want to deny, they don't want to talk about death, they don't want to talk about injury, don't want to prepare for things like that. They think just, if you think about it, maybe it's going to happen. No, if you think about it, you can prepare yourself and you can make sure that you can survive these storms, these things that happen in life. Well, he says that, listen, if the power grid goes out, we're not talking about going back to before the internet, as horrible as that might be for some of us, right? That you're not going to be able to, you know, get online and do those things. We're not talking about going back to the 1980s. You're talking about going back to the 1880s, you know, where they actually got water out of a well and they actually used horses and cows to plow the ground.
You had to wait 3 months to grow food.
We're talking about, yeah, a different civilization. And how many people today are prepared to live
very little,
the 1880s?
Yeah.
I mean, if we don't have, you know, go to the, you know, grocery store to get some food, we're in trouble. Yeah. We're talking about a new threat that North Korea is specifically mapping out an EMP attack on the United States. And so they're warning and they're asking the president to establish his own EMP commission to really address this issue. But I think he's already been on the forefront, as he has specifically been to the region and has some serious talks with different leaders of different nations, including China. And, of course, Japan and South Korea, some of our strongest allies and trading partners. But we've been talking about, what is the fallout? Should we have an attack? What does that actually mean? What does that mean to our electricity? What does that mean to our everyday way of life, how we you know, eat, feed ourselves, communicate, and live? But Dr. Forrester on the Jim Baker Show really goes into detail in terms of, what is life like after an EMP attack? What does it look like? And we get back from that, we're going to share some of the things that you can do to prepare yourself for such an event. Watch this.
Well, let's look at the breakdown. You know, Congressman Bartlett's study that said 90% would die. There's almost like a Maslow's hierarchy of needs here in terms of, okay, we all have oxygen. That will continue. Your clean water supply will disappear within a day. That's why, okay, Robin, what were we doing 2 hours ago? We were down at the old mill, and we were getting some of the emergency water bottles that we make sure our daughters have them at the college, where you can pour muddy water in one side, and you can drink clean water out of the other.
That's right.
That little bottle could be your lifesaver, and
yes,
they've got a stack of them in the basement.
That's right.
So
that's right. The warfare bottle, everyone needs them. That's brilliant.
what we'll lose first is water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there anybody in this room who is actually dependent on a gravity-fed system that they know is clean? Very few of us. Mm-hmm. 3 to 5 days after your clean water supply is gone, the majority of the population is going to be down with some sort of gastrointestinal illness.
Oh, boy.
Therefore, that's going to increase the pollution of the water supply. Average town in America and city has about a 20 to 25-day food supply on hand. That's everything from what's in your fridge. And by the way, unless you got one of these, your fridge isn't going to be working, and you better eat that stuff darn quick. Where are you going to go for your food after 25 days? Command and control is gone. There's no police response. It's impossible. The vehicles aren't running. The radios aren't running. And the 3 to 4% of the population who truly are some bad people, this is their holiday. That they can walk with impunity into a nursing home and take the pain medication that should be going to your parents or grandparents.
Right.
So we have social breakdown, social chaos, and then the big die-off starts. And again, I firmly believe, and what Congressman Bartlett, Dr. Pry, and others have said, casualty estimates, optimistic, is 70% will die in a year. I think realistic is 90% of America will be gone in a year. It will be the most catastrophic military event in the history of humanity. It will be the most catastrophic disease event in the history of humanity, far worse than the very famous Dark Ages plague of the 1340s.
Most catastrophic event in our civilization. Think about this. And so, you know, Dr. Forster really lays out the first thing you got to be concerned about is your water.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw in Puerto Rico, just here recently, how a power grid, fragile like ours here on a smaller scale, couldn't survive a hurricane that devastated the island. And so some of them, it's like 50 days, still don't have any power. Some folks still don't have any power. But what do you do when you don't have any water? And what one of the things that we can learn from a hurricane, having been through a couple myself, and we've been through these things, but just even noticing what happened here in Puerto Rico, is a lot of the people that were suffering and didn't have the food and didn't have the water, some of them didn't prepare. Mm. They didn't prepare and have their own water. They didn't have their own food. Or what they had was good for maybe 2 or 3 days.
Right.
You need to start thinking about having a 90-day supply of food, of water, and some of the things you're going to need to survive should we have a prolonged period of time where you don't have any electricity.
You know, when you think about that too, is that when you're talking about, you know, major, you know, internet or like you're saying, a power plant, so many things are dependent upon the human workforce to keep things going. Because let's say power comes back on in, you know, 60 days. But as he's just sharing, you know, people can die off if they don't have that food supply, and now you don't even have the manpower to keep things going, and then that even just elongates that process that much further. And most people aren't thinking that long term. They're thinking, oh, you know, this will be back on next week.
Right.
2 weeks go by, and then that chaos and that just panic starts to set in, and you start to realize that the very simple things aren't coming back on.
Well, look what happened in Puerto Rico.
Right.
How many people were reliant, like many people, you know, in general, are reliant on the government, thinking that the government's going to step in, they're going to send the Army Corps of Engineers in, they're going to send the Marines in, and we're going to establish civility. Well, what happens when the government itself, it's knocked, you know, knocked down? They couldn't even respond.
Nope.
Some of the reasons why some of the delays occurred in restoring power and you know, getting the help to the people is because their infrastructure was decimated, but the government itself was on the heels.
Yes.
They were trying to get themselves back so that they could function.
Well, you hear that, you know, Dr. Fortune is saying that they have, you know, the average town has 20 days of supply, and it reminds me of Ted Koppel and his investigative report that he did in his book, Lights Out, and he was speaking to specific representatives of our government and even government in New York. And everywhere he said, even speaking to the Red Cross, the continual answer he was told was 3 days. 3 days of food. So that means that if all the people needed food, he would say, okay, they would disseminate 3 days worth of MREs, and it's like, and then you're on your own.
You're on your own.
Right. So if you think about the fact that most people don't want to look at that reality of horror because they want to have that false sense of assurity, And it's, you look at this and it's like, that's a plan that can't be worked out.
And I don't think a 20-day food supply is really a reality. No. I mean, we here on the Gulf Coast have seen that, listen, when a hurricane comes, there's nothing on the shelf, you know?
Weeks before it could hit landfall.
Yeah, and so then what are you going to do? You know, you have to be prepared. You have to have a plan. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of one of the things we want to just, you know, share and impart with you now. What can you do? One of the first things you need to do is educate yourself, right? You need to be aware, like you're doing today, what can be a reality. Yes, we can lose power. Yes, that means I'm not going to have gasoline. That means I can prepare for not having food. You know, what are my surroundings? Who are our local officials? Who are my friends and family? Do they have a plan? You know, do I have enough medicine? All of these, you need to start educating yourself on what's going on and what, you know, could happen. That's the first thing. The second thing is you really need to start developing a plan to prepare should this event happen. And they talk about these 5 G's, Steve, these 5 G's of survival, of preparation. And the first G is secure your ground. You know, where do you live? Do you own a home? Do you rent? Do you live in a house, an apartment? What does your home look like? Is it safe? You know, what about your neighbors? Mm-hmm. Like he said, there's maybe 2 or 3% of the population that they're of the criminal element, you know, and this is their holiday. This is where they look to take advantage of people. I remember during Hurricane Katrina, it took just a few minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, a few minutes. It just took a few days where they lost all civility. After the third or fourth day, you heard people going just, you know, robbing folks and doing harm and taking advantage of people. Yeah. They didn't have much. So you have to secure your ground, as we're talking about. An EMP, what would it look like? Should an EMP be released against the United States, what would life look like if we lost power, we lost the electrical grid, and we didn't go back to the 1980s, but we went back to the 1880s? So you got to start thinking on that type of a grid, and what could you do to prepare yourself? And we've been talking about the 5 G's of preparation. The first one is to secure your ground, secure where you live. Where do you have, you know, where you do life, so to speak. The second thing is to prepare for gas. How important is gas to be able to get around?
Well, that's major, because if electricity is going out, the very pumps that you rely on to get the gas from the pump isn't even going to happen. So you can't even put gas in your car.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I even think about the hurricanes that you've endured when you were up in New Jersey and the lines that immediately formed.
In New Jersey and in Florida.
Yeah, yeah. Because everyone is realizing that gas is coming. And I've noticed many times before that all of a sudden police were there to try to bring some type of order. But you got to remember, too, that at some period of time, they themselves have their own family, so you might not even be able to depend upon police or law enforcement.
Absolutely. If they declare martial law, then you make sure you have to get back into your home at a certain amount of time. But even if you had gasoline enough for 3 to 4 days, you can help other people out, you can help family out, you can get resources and be connected with other people. But you have the gas. That's going to be very, very important during a time like this. So you want to prepare and have some gas put aside. You could put some stabilizer in gas. It could last for, you know, at least a year and have a plan to change it out. Listen, this may seem over the top, but I tell you, there's people in Puerto Rico and other places like, you know, Houston and Florida that wish they had gas, wish they had all those things. You saw the lines. You saw people waiting, sleeping in their cars overnight just to be able to get gas. Now, should your family have an emergency or someone sick and you need to transport them, you wish you had some. So the third G is gold. Well, that's like cash, you know. What is your strategy to have some cash available?
Can't go to the ATM.
Again,
that is our power.
Can't go making transactions in the store because they can't ring you up and process your debit card or your credit cards for that matter. You need some hard, cold cash that you can get your hands on. And let us suggest not $100 bills either, because someone can't have change. Mm-hmm. You may spend $100 just for a piece of bread because you didn't carry any ones or some fives or, you know, 20s, things of that nature.
Well, even as you say that, when you think about bread, you start even thinking about the process of bartering. Because having a credit card, that's obsolete. Having a check, that's obsolete. So you have to look at, in regards to those types of situation, what is going to be considered value. So if you think about it, imagine somebody has an anaphylactic shock. They go into allergic reaction, and they have, okay, I have some Benadryl or something comparable, and it's their daughter. So you
medicine.
Have, right, so you have some medicine. How valuable would that be to someone who has some water? You might be out of water. So those types of ideas to think about, okay, something secondary to actual cold hard cash. But it would be valuable to that person, would it not?
Absolutely. You got to be thinking about those ways. What can I use to barter? What can I use to help? Like you said, I may not have the cash, but I have extra gas.
What's important to you?
Yeah, and, survival.
Right, and it's something you also pointed out earlier, how important in these moments is relationships.
Yeah,
you
know? Well, we're going to get to that actually in building relationships, but the next G is actually securing some grub, right? That's food. So how can you prepare now? Listen, when you go to the store, get a couple extra cans, put it aside, get things that are non-perishable, things that can be stored for a long time, things that can endure all sorts of weather so that you can be prepared in the time that you need to feed your family. You can get a large bag of rice and it can last for quite a long time. Look to get, you know, grills with gas that you can use over a period of time or even open fire. But you need to look at how can I feed my family? And then what type of contingency plan should you have when your neighbors run out of food? You prepared, but your neighbor doesn't have any food. Maybe you bought an extra 50-pound bag of rice that you can, you know, give out to your neighbors, you know, should they need help. But these are all the different type of things that you need to start preparing and thinking ahead should we have a new reality, which would mean we lose power even for a short amount of time, a couple of weeks, even months. I think about some people in Puerto Rico, 50 days, the 50 days without power. The longest I've been without power is during a hurricane, and that was 10 days, you know, and that was serious, you know, because one thing I realized during that storm, one of the storms, I believe it was Ivan, is that everything changes. Mm-hmm. Your whole day is invested in getting resources for that day and communication, because communication is hampered, cell phones are not working, telephone lines are down. So how do you get messages across? How do you get resources? And things are constantly changing because things are, you know, resources are being depleted, new resources are coming in, and how being able to get those to the people that need them. So all day would be spent just in survival. You could barely get things done. Yeah. I also want to add, have some sort of a binder, some sort of
organization for it all.
Yeah, where you can put paperwork in, because you're not going to be able to crank up that computer. Get you a binder where you can print off some information so you can read and so you can write and so you can get the help to yourself, family, friends, and others. And of course, the last thing in the G area here is gun. And so really what that stands for is protection. Mm-hmm. You wanted to consider thinking about what you can do to protect yourself, to protect your family, your loved ones, church members, should something like this happen. I remember during Ivan, middle of the night, windows open, you know, you're like, man, this is something. You have no power, it's pitch black dark, and I had to get something out the car, and I walk out, and there's like a mob of 20-some-odd teenagers, young people walking down the street. And it just hit me like, wow, they don't. No one has these electronics to distract them anymore. Mm-hmm. These people, after, you know,
not wondering.
Yeah, after day two and day three, this has gotten really old, you know. So people are out of their homes, and now they're wandering around the street at night. Mm-hmm. And so that could you know, present a really difficult situation for you, your family, your safety.
Yeah, and it's amazing that you're talking about that in regards to, you know, you've experienced hurricanes, and that's true down in the South. And during my time, when I was younger, I used to live up north in the Michigan, Detroit area, and we used to have a lot of snowstorms. So if you can imagine a heavy ice storm, a heavy snowstorm, that knocks out a power grid. Let's say that it's February and you're without power for a week. Yeah. So you start beginning to thinking about, okay, what if this were to happen in the winter or the summer? You've got different variables to think about in regards to, you know, high temperature, or if you think about
clothing, all those different things.
Absolutely.
Boots.
Or even relatives that need specific medications or where they're at. And you just, it's good to start thinking, brainstorming, what if. It's not a bad thing because you start looking at, hey, maybe I should pick up this week.
Yeah.
And it starts to add up.
Prepare. One of the last things you can do, close to the last things, is start building community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something's happening right now in our generation. We have all this technology supposedly to make us be more social. We have social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter and all these different things, Instagram, so that we can be more connected with people. But it seems that we are more disconnected. We are not engaging in valuable relationships and getting to, you know, meet with others. Build relationships. Know your neighbors. Have a plan. Know where you're going to meet. Build a community that you guys can bring resources together so that you can survive all these things that could potentially happen, and be prepared to minister during this time. If you spend all of your time now preparing, when people are in need, you're going to be the one able and prepared to offer hope, to talk about the Lord, to pray, to give resources. And it's going to be a wonderful, amazing time of fruitful ministry if you prepare now. And the last thing before we go to prayer, in fact, is actually prayer. Prayer. It's not the last resort. It's the first resort. It's the chief thing. The most important thing that you could do is to pray. Pray for our leaders. Pray for President Trump, because we need this EMP commission. We need to be vigilant about all these things that are happening so that we can be prepared. Listen, as we do every program, we want to close out this program in prayer. Lord, we just thank you, God, just for the wisdom and the awareness of the things that are affecting, you know, us, Lord, in our nation, in our world. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us wisdom where we can prepare. We pray for our president, Lord. We pray for those in the Senate and in Congress, Lord, that you would help them to develop this strategy, this plan of action to protect the 330 million Americans that call the United States home, so that we can continue to be the beacon of light to the nations of the world, and we can continue to advance your kingdom. As we end every program, Lord, we ask you, dear God, to end abortion, send revival, and send a third great awakening upon this land. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you, and thank you for watching.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.